Meet your little friends and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy good to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
This is where you carried me. Of course, I'm the king of tired.
I am the king of tired. That's my thing. I said that.
I'm more tired.
Before we started recording, I said, I'm the king of tired.
That is where I'll admit that's where I heard it from, but it sounded like a great description of what I am right now. And so that's
I'm the king of tired.
That's what I've brought into the... Tanner's going to be carrying this one today, folks. It's a Tanner episode. I'm the
like episodes where the episode is immediately dropped on the ground and splatters and shatters into a million pieces. Because that's what's going to happen, because I'm the king of tired today.
I'm the king of tired today because I've been working all day, and I'm the young upstart prodigy who's never learned how to podcast. I just do it so naturally. And when Tanner watches me podcast as a grizzled old veteran
who
came up the old way, he's like, it looks terrible. He does everything wrong, but like somehow it's so beautiful because he's just such a
but
natural
God damn
talent.
It if, yeah, exactly. God damn it if he doesn't impress me out there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what it's like. And before we go any further, one of the boys in this book is called Miles. Do you want to change the name just for us? Just starting right at the beginning?
I mean, lots of people are named Miles.
Including your infant son.
Tails.
Yeah. No,
from
I know
Sonic the Hedgehog is named Miles.
I know who's named Miles. I'm just
Chief O'Brien.
I know
the USS Enterprise is named Miles.
Sorry, I thought I'd made this clear.
Miles Morales is named Miles.
I do know who is named Miles.
I don't look at Chief O'Brien when I'm watching Deep Space Nine. And think to myself, oh, that's my son, Miles.
Okay.
I am capable of compartmentalizing.
I just thought it might be easier if we renamed him Bebop.
Okay. And can we rename Crash Rocksteady?
I think it's got to be either Crash Override or Crash Bandicoot.
Well, then can we just name Miles Tails? Because then it's just, then at least it's two, like,
who's Crash Bandicoot's
furries.
Big enemy?
Dr. Cortex, Neocortex.
Do you want to just call him Dr. Cortex?
Can we just call him Miles? I feel like if we change the name of Miles Turner from this book,
yeah,
it may help me sort of like
just,
you know,
create some distance
myself from distance. Sorry, not even distance myself. Distance my son from
the content of
horny
this X-rated
sex
episode.
In this book. Yeah. But I do think it would then further confuse me that we're talking about Dr. Neo Cortex from the Crash Bandicoot games.
But in a kind of a good way, huh?
Jesus. Hey, Tamsin.
Jesus.
Give America what it wants.
Yeah.
And write a romance book with Crash Bandicoot and Dr. Neo Cortex.
This is like, you know how 50 Shades of Grey famously started as
it's
Twilight
like Twilight fanfic, yeah.
This book, Seduction on the Slopes, Snow and Ice Games Book 2 by Tamsin Parker, which is what we're talking about today, actually started as Crash Bandicoot and Dr. Cortex fanfic.
Yeah.
You can just tell. You can kind of tell.
Yeah.
One of the guys is named Crash. It was the one, she did a good job with this one, but it was the one piece of laziness. She forgot to rename one of the guys, and we were able to just immediately retrace all of her steps all the way back to the beginning. And it's Crash Bandicoot and Dr. Cortex fanfic, and my goodness. This one's, I didn't know they did. You know, romance, it's new to us. You know, we've only read 11 romance novels as the Strange Bedfellows. Hi, I'm Jack.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Tanner.
But it always has something new to teach us.
It's Jamie tonight. She was like, "What book are you guys discussing?" Oh, yeah. Seduction on the Slopes. Is that your first gay romance? Oh no. You guys started with Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, that's true." But like,
yeah,
Red, White, and Royal Blue is like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood compared to this book. This book is so horny.
This one is like Mr. Rogers After Dark.
There are so many sex scenes in this book.
It's more fucking, and more sucking than skiing, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is.
Yeah. It's just nonstop. They just, like, don't... They start right... Like, Tamsin is like, okay, fine, I'm going to introduce the characters. One of them is called Crash Bandicoot. Anyway, they're fucking in the shower.
And the second one's called Dr. Neocortex. Anyway, back to the fucking... Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Should we describe the book?
Let's say the book. Whose turn is it?
Yours.
Are you sure? I'm so tired. I'm the king of tired today. I've been working.
You want me to do it?
7 this morning. I can do it. I don't mind. Just put 90 seconds on a big bad clock and I'll do it.
Do you want me to do it? I can do it.
No, I can do it.
I'm the king of tired, but I can do it.
I can do it. I'm the king of tired. But
should we explain why we're tired?
I don't think it's interesting. You told me, and I told you, and looking back on the conversation, it doesn't seem like interesting.
It's not interesting that every smart light in my house turned on at 1 a.m. due to a power outage and woke up me and my son and my wife, and my son thought it was the morning. And
your thing is more interesting. Sleep. That sucks when that happens. That sucks when that happens. That when Cyril was Miles's age, Miles, your boy, not Miles Bandicoot from this book.
Yeah.
Miles Cortex from this book. He would sometimes do that, but not because, like, the lights had come on. He would just wake up at 3 and, like, not be screaming, just being like, Daddy! Daddy! And I would come into his room and he'd be like, what's for breakfast? And it would be like, "It's dude,
I'll tell
like
you in 4 hours.
3 a.m.
Our new thing is we have a little light on Miles' changing table that at 6:45 a.m. turns green.
Okay.
And that's his signal that he's allowed to yell for us.
Yeah.
But I think every light in the house turning on at 1:20 a.m. really threw him off.
Yeah. Well, it would me too.
And me off, and now I'm the king of tired.
Yeah. We're both pretty tired. I'm going to describe the novel. I need you to put 90 seconds on this big bag. I'm tired because I've been working.
You can be the prince.
All.
Do you want to be the prince of tired?
Could I be the dark prince of tired?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. 90 seconds timer. I'm looking at pictures of Dr. Neocortex.
This is going to be a tired one. It's going to be a cranky one. It's going to be a little cranky.
It's going to be cranky because
these
two
cranky.
Couldn't stop cranking one another off.
They couldn't. I literally couldn't.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Okay. So Miles Palmer is one of the best skiers, and we do not say Olympics. Please, it's the snow and ice games.
Yeah,
we don't want to get sued. And
SIA
Crash Bandicoot is the new guy, and Miles has been doing it for years. He's in his 30s, and Crash Bandicoot is like, he's like the new upstart. He just learned to ski. He's like comes from a trailer park, and he doesn't.
He's ropey.
But there's a problem. He never shows up to press conferences, and the coach is like, we're going to have to kick him off the team. And
Dead.
So Miles is like, I'm going to get to the bottom of why he can't come to press conferences. And Crash Bandicoot is like, well, I'll tell you why. It's because I get super vomity nervous because I'm worried people are going to ask me about my sad past, which is that my parents didn't love me. And he's like, and Miles is like, okay, what can we do to calm you down? He's like, well, only two things that calm me down. Smoking pot, that's against the rules because of stupid drug laws. And fucking.
Yeah.
And Miles is like, pretty quickly, like, well, why don't I just jerk you off before the press conferences? We're both gay men.
Yeah. Miles says, I am a confident gay man. Yeah. 10 seconds left.
And so he does, and then they fucking suck throughout this entire book. And then at the end of the book, they do a big race. And it's kind of sad because Miles doesn't want to lose because he's old. But he does win one of the races, and then Crash Bandicoot wins the other race. And then they live happily ever after in a mansion.
I gave you some grace there.
Yeah. Because you kept talking to me. It's a new thing you do. You talk to me.
It's new for the new show. I talk
to you.
Well,
we never agreed on
it. Recaps.
You're not supposed to.
We don't agree on a lot of things.
Okay, that's fine. What did I miss? There's a
nothing.
It's
literally
honestly,
nothing because this just, book is
it's so much fucking
200 pages of these two in a small room fucking and sucking.
Yeah,
they're like in their dorm.
Every which way.
It's fucking
like,
and sucking.
I'm
it takes
to...
until chapter 18.
Before there's any skiing.
Before there's a ski race.
I had forgotten. I was like, wait, is this a metaphor? Oh, no, they're actually doing a ski race.
I don't, and keep in mind, what are we calling them now?
Crash Bandicoot and Mr.
No, Cortex. The listeners. Are we calling them Crash Bandicoots?
No, I think it's Bedpots and Sex Bugs. They don't. I'm right. Sure they don't like that. But.
Keep in mind, Bedpots and Sex Bugs. It was a good book. I liked it. It was fun to read.
It was fun. It was
tore through it, and yeah. I had to actually read it with my human eyes, like some kind of
whoa.
Like, what did I say the other night? The other day when we were recording, like a Morlock.
A Morlock. Yeah, that's
from the time machine.
That's how I do it. Tanner normally puts these in his ear holes. He sticks these books right into his ear holes.
Yeah.
But this time you had to siphon them up through your fucking face holes, didn't you? The
so
two little holes right in the top of your face.
Jam them right in my face holes.
Yeah.
Like
that's how
Morlock.
I always do it. That's how I always do it, like a Morlock.
But I still loved it. It was such a blast. I just tore through it.
It was fun.
So horny.
It was different from all the romances we've read so far because, first of all, there's normally just three sex scenes in a romance. And this one, it's all sex. And
there's three non-sex scenes.
There's also, like, I would think literally every romance we've read up until now, the premise of their meet cute is that they don't like each other. Like, they don't get along. But this,
and also,
like,
Dr. Neocortex Miles is the elder statesman on the team.
Yeah.
And he sort of takes on a mentor role for Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. And they don't, like, there's a little bit of tension because, like, Crash Bandicoot's kind of like a pot smoking, like, chill dude. And Dr. Neocortex is, like, kind of uptight and high strung and an older gentleman. But there's not, like, they don't hate each other. They actually immediately quite like each other. And in fact, Crash Bandicoot really looks up to
There's a lot of respect. Miles Turner is the world's greatest skier. But of course, he's 31. He's past his prime. It's time to just be like put out to pasture. So he's losing his edge.
Yeah.
And Crash Delaney is the young, raw talent upstart who's ground his way up from the
bottom.
He has
to wear soccer shin guards instead of the normal ski guards
because
he just doesn't have any equipment or anything.
Well, he does now.
He does now. Do you want to do a quick name generator with me before we get any further in this? I was thinking that maybe we could both figure out what is your sexy maverick skier name.
Okay.
This guy's called Crash.
Hey, here's mine. Tanner Greenring.
That's pretty good. That sounds more like a Miles type one.
Yeah. I've never skied in my life.
Tanner Greenring and Miles Delaney are definitely much of a muchness. This guy could have been, Miles could have been called Tanner, don't you think?
Yeah.
But Crash was born during a thunderstorm.
Oh, okay. The angel opens her
eyes.
Please
do not sing Lightning Crashes. And his parents are hippies.
Pale blue colored
eyes.
Please
do not sing Lightning Crashes. But I haven't quite figured this out because I'm the Dark Prince of Tired today.
Yeah.
You need
the King of Tired to come in and
help. It occurs to me there are two different directions we could go. One is we could find a verb-sounding name that's like Crash. Or the other is we could try to say the thing that was happening when we were born. But that might be harder. I know that Tottenham Hotspur was playing when I was born. So Hotspur is pretty good. I've lost him, unfortunately. It's sad.
One sec. Sorry.
It looks to me like the Zoom has just frozen. But what's
one second. Sorry.
Is that he's decided to Google something. I hope it's helpful. I hope it's helpful for the podcast.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think it'll be good. This is me. Great. I just texted you. This is me today.
You texted a picture of yourself. That's always helpful. It's great because of the audio nature of the medium. So you've texted me a picture of King Theoden from, it looks like Grimo Wormtongue has been whispering into his ear a little bit too long. He looks very suspicious.
He looks tired.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Oh, and that's me today. I'm
so that was
tired.
I'm thinking back to when did I reference the King of Tired
let's
last?
Let's hop in the warp pipe.
Then you looked up a picture of King Theoden to send to me. So it makes me worry because I've said a lot of things since then. I think we did a whole name generator.
Were we doing a name generator?
Yeah, we were in the middle.
All right,
we
my
did
name
a whole
is
one. King Theoden.
My name is my name is Zap Theoden.
My name. So you're going with the cool first name that sounds like a verb.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go with cool first name that was what was happening when I was born.
Oh, okay, I'll do that too.
Do you know this story about me? I've told it on the podcast. Do you want to hear it again, real quick?
No, tell me.
When I was born by cesarean, like all the great Roman emperors.
Yes.
And so my dad was just sitting.
Is that true?
They had cesarean.
C-section back in the Roman days?
What do you think C stands for?
I don't know.
Cesarean, like Caesar.
Didn't that...
I don't want to talk about it.
Didn't that kill a lot of
probably, yes.
Roman women?
I don't want to talk about it. I've got him telling you a story. I was born by cesarean. My dad, I'm sure I've told this on the podcast before. My dad was, it was the late 70s. So my dad was just like sitting in his bell bottoms in the waiting room watching the football game.
Hotspurs.
Tottenham Hotspurs. Leicester, let's say. They're playing
Leicester.
Nottingham Forest.
That's from Robin Hood?
Yeah. And the doctor came in like after I was born, and he goes to my dad and he goes, "Your little footballer is born."
Yeah.
And my dad thought, he said, "What's the football score?" So he said, "Tottenham 2, Nottingham 1.
and he thought that was your name and that's on your birth certificate now?
The doctor was just like, "This is the most callous man I've ever met." I just told him his fucking only child was born, and he told me the fucking football score. So Hotspur
is pretty cool.
Worm tongue.
Hotspur worm tongue.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's our sexy maverick skier.
Wait,
names.
I haven't done mine yet.
You did yours. You said
no,
it was
No, I
Zap,
want to take a good
Zap
run at
Theoden.
It.
Zap Theoden.
I want to take a run at
okay,
it.
Okay, fine.
I sent you a screenshot of a headline. Can you read it to me?
Jesus Christ, man. Okay, so you sent me a screenshot of a... I'm sorry we're both so tired today. I'm the dark princeling of tired. Yeah. You sent me a screenshot, and it says January 24th, 1984. It's a headline. January 24th.
From wired.com.
1984, birth of the cool.
That's me.
Computer, that is. Oh.
Ignore that part.
Okay.
January 24th, 1984 was the first Mac computer was...
Brought
into this world. And so was I. So my name is Macintosh Theoden.
Okay, and we're both sexy skiers.
And we're both sexy skiers, yeah.
We fuck more than we ski, but goddamn do we ski pretty good.
I use those little skis. You know those little tiny skis that are just longer than your foot?
Yeah, for babies.
That's what I use.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I shred the slopes and I do like sick jumps. And I do something called Super G, and I don't know what that means, but they kept talking
about
that.
I kept expecting, just because I'm so used to, I don't think I've ever read a snow-based novel without fairly early in the snow-based novel, they like dig too deep and awaken something in the snow.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I kept waiting for that to happen, but the only thing that got awakened was boners in this one.
Lots of boners got awakened in this one, yep.
Yeah, they woke up a lot of boners in the snow in this one.
Crash Bandicoot has pre-race jitters.
Yeah.
He needs to be jerked off in order to let me back up.
He can't
do
it himself.
He always throws up.
They don't. He's got to get something out of him. He has to get some fluid out of his body.
He has to expel a fluid. Yeah.
One way or the other. He doesn't really care what orifice it comes out of,
no.
But it's got to be out or he can't do an interview. And it's super relatable.
That is relatable.
Yeah. You got to get something out.
He's bad at press when I'm bad at press, too.
Before I used to wrestle, I would have to get something out of me.
Did a primal scream ever do the trick? Or
I would usually just feel either vomity or diarrhea.
Jizzy.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Never that one. But I got very nervous before wrestling matches.
Because you were worried about doing the press?
No, I was worried about wrestling.
They would be like, Excuse me, Hotspur. We heard that you had to steal your wrestling equipment.
Weirdly, it wasn't the press I was worried about. It was the thought of fighting another man.
Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, but it's so scary.
I thought that would be the draw.
I was pretty good at it, but it made me vomit pretty much every time.
When's the last time you wrestled a man?
The last time memorably that I wrestled a man was in probably about 2008.
Officially, sorry.
2007. Oh, like with a referee?
Yeah.
1997.
Okay, because I was pretty good at trombone, first chair.
Oh, wait, no.
Throughout high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many times have I mentioned being first chair trombone on the show?
I don't know.
None. And yet I feel like I have like accurate career highlights of Jack Shepherd.
You don't know shit, man. If you, I could do a whole fucking pot. It wasn't, literally wasn't. It was folk style. What are we talking about? You've completely thrown me off course.
Yeah, I'm the king of tired, man. What do you want from me? I'm a maniac.
Vomits. He needs to get something out of him before he can do press. He's fine to ski. Skiing doesn't stress him out at all. But he can't talk to the media unless something comes out of his butt.
Up until this point, it has been barf. And now that he has a sexy roommate who he's always looked up to and also found sexually attractive.
He's got corded. His muscles are corded. I don't know what that means. I don't have that. But
it's like cords. It's like corduroy pants.
It's very sexy.
Your muscles are sort of like
covered in corduroy material.
Like stripped.
Yeah. And
like
he,
stripes.
They're like the first like three or four times that they have relations, it's very like, I mean, it's sexy, but it's kind of clinical. Like Miles,
yeah,
is like
it's exasperated. It's all business.
Yeah, he's like, come on, look, this is the we've exhausted all the other options. I asked you if you like meditation. You said no. We can't smoke pot. There's absolutely nothing we could possibly do other than I will clinically jerk you off in the shower. And they awaken something in the snow, don't they? Would you like to? Would you like for me to read a passage?
Yeah, please.
Miles looks at me from across the table, his sporty and probably expensive zip-up sweater clinging to him in kind of a ridiculously hot way and with a crease between his brows. I was supposed to meet you at 8. I'm here at 8. Why is that remarkable? This guy has got a ski pole wedged so far up his ass, I'm surprised I can't see it when he opens his mouth. I think what we're describing here is a skinobite.
Skinobite, yes. So here's what happened. An art collector buys the lament configuration, which has taken on this pillar shape.
Yeah.
He solves
from the
it,
Hellraiser
unlocks
universe.
All of the Cenobites. It's hell on earth. This is Hellraiser 3.
Yeah.
Everyone who is in the vicinity of the lament configuration is warped into a Cenobite that matches their
thing in life. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy who's a cameraman. He gets a camera embedded in his head. There's a guy who's listening to CDs. He becomes CD head.
Yeah.
And then
everybody knows
Miles, aka Dr. Neocortex.
Yeah. Gets a ski pole.
Gets a ski pole up his butt.
All the way, and it comes out his mouth.
Wow. That's scary. That's a scary
That's skinobite. A scary, and I call it a skinobite.
Skinobite. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
There's another reference to the Hellraiser universe. Can I read it to you?
Is there? Yeah. Please.
I get out of bed to hit the head, and when I finish up washing my hands, there's a knock. Just a sec. But when I open the door, it's Miles standing. Sorry, it's Dr. Neocortex standing there in those pajama pants that show off his sick hip cuts and no goddamn shirt.
What's a hip cut?
Well, we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, hip cut doesn't sound familiar.
And we rebranded it as pinheads.
Yeah.
Didn't we? It's pinhead.
Tamsin?
Tamsin.
I can't blame you because
hip cut's a good first take.
Hip cut's fine.
That's a great place to start a brainstorming.
But let's workshop it a little bit.
Workshop it. And pinheads is the answer because it's the head. Legs are called pins, and the heads of your legs is the head of the pin. And why not call it pinheads? And we do. That's what we do.
I like hip cuts, and I think there's a lot to like in hip cuts, but here's what it's lacking, Tamsin.
What's it lacking? Tamsin.
Reference to Cenobites.
Yeah, there's no reference to Cenobites, and you did such a good job with
what
the
Cenobites. What are we doing? Why bother then?
Well, so this brings me to a segment that you coined.
Yeah.
That which is where we came up with pinheads.
Right.
And I think it's called Jack and Tanner.
Jack and Tanner.
Just wanted to circle back on that Q3 forecast and try and land the plane from an API standpoint.
Branding consult.
Going forward, I think it's clear from a macro standpoint.
You got to get granular and just hammer things out, you know?
Branding consultants, right? Yes, that's
and
us.
We're gonna help you come up with better words for stuff on the body.
I'm
Tamsin.
You and I are literally branding consultants.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, sure.
We've done branding consulting. I one time
sure.
Helped a major toothpaste company.
Oh yeah.
Name a new toothpaste they were coming up with, and
yeah.
they were and so the- disappointed in the names we came up with that they.
Ended the relationship.
Fired us. Yeah,
they paid. If my memory is correct, they were so disappointed in the names of the toothpaste that you came up with that they paid the major media company we were working for some hundreds of thousands of dollars to stop working.
To no longer hear the names I was coming up with. I thought some of them pretty good. Tooth shit. You picked that up in the store, right?
Yeah, Zoomers don't say toothpaste anymore.
No, it's tooth shit.
It's tooth shit, man.
So, yeah, we're branding consultants. Yeah, we know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, we definitely know. Chopper goop.
Chopper goop. Chomper?
Chomper goop.
Chomper goop. Well,
Chomper
I think,
goop.
I think Gwyneth will probably come after us.
You think that'll yeah. be that's a bonus. So there are a couple times I think that Tamsin wants our help as branding consultants.
Okay.
Here's a first. I swear to you, it sounds like I'm just randomly choosing from sex scenes in this book, but you can throw a dart at this book and they're fucking in the shower.
Yeah.
It's fun. I enjoyed it.
No, it's good. It's good. We're not complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not complaining. Miles strokes a hand down the side of my ribs, almost all the way down to my ass.
It's like he's playing the washboards.
Like he's playing the washboards. His fingers are in that weird zone where it's hard to tell what exactly to call it, but it feels good.
What to call the fingers?
No, I think it's almost all the way down to his ass.
What are we naming?
We're naming that weird zone where it's hard to tell what exactly to call it, but it feels good.
And it's all the way down by your ass.
He strokes a hand down the side of his ribs. So it's on the...
It's upper side butt, but obviously
it's
that's
upper,
bad branding.
I think it's upper side butt. Yeah.
Right. And we're going to have to come up with
what about,
a little spicier than
let me throw something at
butt.
You just yep. off the bat here.
Yep.
Pinhead toppers.
Pinhead toppers.
That's just pinhead to get toppers. The ball rolling. Pinhead toppers.
Pinhead's already the head, though.
Yeah.
It's like a pinhead hat.
So it's like a hat.
Yeah. I don't think Pinhead can wear a hat.
Pinhead helmet?
Cenobite helmet. We gotta move away from Pinhead.
Okay. You wanna steer, get out of the Hellraiser universe?
Not necessarily.
Entirely.
Not necessarily. I didn't say that. There's another Cenobite called Butterball.
Okay.
Why don't we just call him Butterballs?
Butterballs is actually pretty good. Okay, let me try it and see how it sounds to you.
Yeah.
Miles strokes a hand down the side of my ribs, almost all the way down to my ass. His fingers are in my butter balls, and it feels good.
It makes it sound like balls, though.
Yeah.
Right? I read that, and I'm like, oh, he's touching his balls. I guess we can look up other Cenobites, right? That's probably a good place to start.
I think we might want to try to move
list
away from the
of
Hellraiser
Cenobites.
Universe.
What do you mean?
I mean, you can do that.
It works so well. Our hit rate on that is 100%.
Yeah, so far it is. Yeah, I thought Butterballs was something. I don't think CD head's going to work.
Cattle skull?
No. See, because this stuff is scary. Well, we want it to be sexy.
Right. So you're challenging me to find a sexy Cenobite name.
I guess I was. I didn't realize it as I said it.
Because
I've got one more for you. So we gotta close the book on this pretty
laughing
quick.
Boy, those are my laughing boys. The Cenobite names are largely pretty scary.
It's a butt. It's a butt. It's a part of the butt. It's on the side.
It's the upper butt on the side. It's almost like it's whispering in the butt's ears, you know?
Butt's ears
manipulating,
is good.
Manipulating the butt.
I think the butt's ears is pretty good. The butt's ass ears. Ass, what's another word for ears?
Weirdly, not a lot of slang for ears.
Lug is the only thing that I can find in this thesaurus. Handle is, so ass handles, I think, is pretty good.
Ass handles.
Ass handles?
Can we call them worm tongues?
I don't think, worm tongue isn't quite right.
Ass ears. Wait, what did you say?
Ass handles or ass lugs.
Ass lugs is not bad. Hey, grab me by the ass lugs and...
Let's try handles.
That's not bad.
Miles strokes a hand down the side of my ribs almost all the way to my ass. His fingers are in my ass handles, and it feels good.
Ass handles. I think it's probably about as good as we're going to get.
Okay. Here's one more, where Tamsin's clearly asking for our help.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to take a quick break. I snort a laugh into that comfortable space between his neck and shoulder.
Okay. Neck and shoulder.
It's a comfortable space between the neck and shoulder.
It's like here.
It's a divot, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a crevice. It's a Grand Canyon. It's a
torso.
It's the end of your torso, but it's also the bottom of your head. It's your head's butt, isn't it?
It's a headbutt.
It's your
head's that's butt. A word. Shit.
What about your head's butt? I snort a laugh.
I think headbutt is already a word, though. What about, let's obscure butt. Let's say, like, head tush.
Okay. I snort a laugh into his head tush.
Right. Or neck tush.
No, neck tush is not that. The neck is the head tush.
Oh, right.
Well, and you just have a left and right. I snort a laugh. You'll have to specify. But I snort a laugh into his left head tush.
I feel like if I read that, I would understand what it means.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
All right, Tamsin, you can hire us. My rates are a little lower than Tanner's, but I do a better job.
Right. Jack's never been fired by a major toothpaste company for doing such a poor job of naming something. So that's what you're paying for.
Chomping goo.
Expertise.
That's what I would have suggested. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this quick break.
I think we maybe literally pitched tooth slime at one point.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Ooh! Jack.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I am beat.
Don't try to out-tired me. It's not fun for anyone. You're trying to outdo me.
Because beat.
I was the first one to say, I'm super tired. And you're like, no, I'm the king of tired. That's why you said I'm the king of tired, because it was like trying to one-up me when I brought it up, which I don't normally.
I'm so tired right now. At dinner time tonight,
please.
We eat dinner with Miles every night now at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And at some point, Jamie was like, I was zoning, and Jamie was like, oh, you look tired.
Okay. And I said, he gave me a smug expression. I was like, validated by your own wife.
And I said, oh, yeah, I've totally crashed. And Miles was like, you crashed the car?
That's crazy, because this book's about crashing, Miles.
No, he thought I had crashed another car. Because he knows that I crashed our car.
Because you do constantly crash cars.
Like, well, I have crashed
Lightning
one
McQueen.
Car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crashed a car.
They were reading a book. Here's what happened in the novel. They dug too deep in the snow and they woke something, didn't they, that they didn't expect? And it was boners, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was primal urges.
It was boners, just endlessly boners.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it. The other book that we read in As Strange Bedfellows that was about two gay men, well, it was a gay man and a bisexual man.
Yeah.
They were both closeted.
They were, right,
it
right,
was
right,
fun.
Yes.
It was fun that, like, a fun thing that I liked about this particular novel is that there was just, like, they didn't have that as a device at all.
No, it wasn't an issue that they were gay.
No one's worried about, they don't have to keep their relationship secret, anything. It's just
the
like.
The issue was that they are.
A mentor.
Like, 12 years apart in age.
Yeah.
But it's a happy story. It starts as something very clinical. They're just jerking one another off in the shower just to, like, get by.
Just
but
to get
by the end of the book,
yeah,
they've decided that they're going to move in with one another and be lovers and partners.
They've developed feelings.
Do you want to... Can I ask you about barnacle theory?
Barnacle theory. I'm not familiar with this one.
Do you know what a barnacle is?
Yeah, it's like a... It's an organism that attaches itself to the bottom of ships often and can be quite scratchy, but it's like a little bug in a shell.
My friend Jim.
From Mallory Hates Boys and Jim.
And I had an agreement in high school that if he had a son,
okay,
he would name it Barnacle.
I know that he has a son.
Barnacle Bab.
And I don't think that the son's name is Barnacle.
No, he reneged on the deal.
Okay. Did he say, I changed the deal, pray that I don't alter it any further?
No.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. He didn't address it.
Yeah.
When he had his son. And I think I was meant to name my son Flinger Dinger.
Why?
Flinger Dinger Ringerood at the time.
That would have been cool.
But neither of those things happened.
Yeah.
But the characters in this book are both barnacles.
Okay. Elaborate on that for me.
Okay.
It's a bug in a shell. That's what I know from my science.
A barnacle is a type of arthropod constituting the subclass Cirripedia in the subphylum Crustacea.
Okay, bug in a shell.
And is hence related to crabs and lobsters.
Literally, bug in a shell. I said it so much faster. This is why you can't trust the science.
Well, you said elaborate on it, and I did. I read the Wikipedia page.
Okay. But sorry. What I meant was elaborate on how that relates to this novel in any meaningful way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be like? To be 31 years old and still live with your parents because it made all of you happy. And in the same house you've lived in basically your whole life. No wonder Miles is so constant. He grew up on a rock with barnacles for parents. I don't mean that in an insulting way either.
No, it wouldn't be if you're barnacles.
No.
At all.
So Miles, at least, Dr. Neocortex...
Has barnacles for parents.
Has barnacles for parents, and what would that imply?
That they're all barnacles?
That he is also a barnacle.
But let me throw something at you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say he grew up in a house with humans for parents of a fellow human.
I think if you don't say that, it leaves a lot of
okay. You would
wiggle
say
room.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all barnacles.
Being precise with my language, but then let me read this part.
Yeah.
So we assume that Miles, Turner, the older skier,
Neocortex,
is a barnacle now. We can take that as red, right?
Yeah, that's red.
Okay. His tone tells me it's time to go, so I close my eyes, take a breath, and push for all I'm worth. Then I tell my conscious mind to take a back seat and let my body and the beast take over.
Okay.
The lethal predator that wants this really badly, who has lightning reflexes and killer instinct. And that's Crash describing himself in the lead up to a big race.
This is actually about skiing, which is a rare a rare moment in this book where it's not
right. Yeah.
It's not about fucking in the shower.
And the words he's used there.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about barnacles.
I mean, I've told you everything I know.
They belong to the subclass Cirripedia, and they're in the subphylum Crustacea, obviously.
Bugs and shells that live on the bottoms of boats. And
would you describe it as a beast, a lethal predator with lightning reflexes and a killer instinct?
No, opposite of that.
Okay. So that throws barnacle theory
completely into the wind.
Right. Now I don't know what we're dealing with.
I mean,
because I thought, oh, Miles is a barnacle. Crash must be a barnacle. And then he described himself this way. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's
what eats barnacles
are.
Can you look it up?
What eats barnacles?
Yeah. Can you Google it? And if we have any barnacle scientists who listen to the show, this is your big fucking shining moment.
Whelks.
So it's whelk.
Which is a snail.
So Crash Bandicoot is a whelk. And what's the other guy called? Neocortex. I'm the Neocortex. Dark princeling of Tired. The other guy's
the king
barnacle.
Of Tired, me, King Theoden.
It's so fun. It's so rich.
And so those descriptors apply to sea snails in your mind.
If you're a barnacle, wouldn't you see a sea snail that eats you as being like
predator.
A fierce predator beast? That's
lightning
scary
reflexes.
As shit to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would describe a conch that way, and a conch and a whelk are very similar, pretty closely related.
Okay.
So I don't know that much about whelks.
Yeah.
But I know a lot about conches.
Okay.
And well, yeah, I would describe conch that way.
Okay, great. Well, it sounds like we don't need any barnacle scientists to help us with this one. We've worked our way through it.
I'm looking at pictures of whelks. They're pretty nasty.
Okay.
They're just sort of gross worms that live inside of shells.
That's what I've been talking about. It's shell bugs and shell worms. That's
British
what
people
sea
eat
is.
These whelks.
I don't know.
They do.
Okay.
And how's that make you feel? Defend that. Answer for that.
I can. I wouldn't. I think it's bad. Don't stop it. Save the whelks. Okay. Should we? I don't even know.
Take another break?
No.
Jesus.
I was thinking.
All right.
We could try to take one of the legion sex scenes in this novel and tone it down about
clean
five notches. Clean it up.
It's going to be hard. They're so horny.
They're so horny. It's a segment we like to call Two Prude Dudes.
Yeah.
And what we do is, you know, a lot of people listen to this podcast around the dinner table. So we like to take a sex scene and clean it up.
They listen to it at church.
They listen to it at church. A lot of people, a lot of ministers, a lot of lazy ministers.
We'll put this on as
we'll just
as
put this
gospel.
On instead of their sermon.
Right.
At church and
they
hope
play it
that nobody
in
notices.
Sunday school.
Yeah, they'll play it in Sunday school. But we want them to fully understand everything that happens in this book. And this book's mostly fucking and sucking. Let's be honest here, folks. Yeah. So we're going to try to take one of those scenes. We're going to turn it PG. PG-13,
okay.
if you want a nipple.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. We can put one. If we do PG-13, we can get a nipple in there if we need it. We may not need it. So maybe
Halle
PG.
Berry's nipple might be in there.
Yeah, we'll put Halle Berry's nipple in there. So that's it. We're going to clean this up. Let's get going. I've selected one.
I feel like I should clarify. Operation Swordfish was a film that came out in maybe 2002 or 2003.
And it was PG-13.
It was PG-13, and it was Hugh Jackman and Halle Berry. And the reason it was PG-13 is because at one point, Hugh Jackman walks up to Halle Berry at the side of a pool, and she lowers the book she's reading, and it's just her nipples.
Okay.
And it's like, well, there's,
and like,
there's
well, that's
PG
what's
13.
Allowed.
Yeah.
They're like, we've got to get this up. They're like, Hallie, I know we already did the whole movie.
Yeah.
But we've got, the ratings came back and it's PG and no one's going to take us seriously.
Yeah.
We're going to battlerize this motherfucker. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get started. It comes out pretty hot and heavy. So I need you to be like, be ready to fucking go. Guns blazing.
Be on guard. Head on a swivel.
You ready to fix this shit? Okay? I'm going to come at you. Here we go.
Karate chopping boners out of the air.
Let's get started. Here goes. Miles Palmer. Should we say neocortex? Do you want
to Dr. Neocortex.
Dr. Neocortex.
Why obscure it? We know it's Crash Bandicoot.
We know what's happening. We're gonna bring that aspect back while we turn down all the dials on the sexiness.
Right.
Okay, deep breath. Dr. Neocortex has a finger up my ass.
He's a doctor. Right.
I still think it's not okay.
Dr. Neocortex has... So here's the confusing... Here's the tricky part.
What does Dr. Neocortex do? How up are you on your Crash Bandicoot mythology?
None.
Not great.
I mean, I've played Crash Bandicoot.
Do you want to pull up a wiki or something?
When I was 13. I already have the Cenobite wiki open. You want me to open another...
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, I mean, maybe we can combine them. Open it in a new tab in case we need to tab back to put some help.
Okay, I'm on the Bandipedia.
Okay, perfect. What is
And I'm on Neocortex's page.
What do you think Neocortex does with his fingers?
Well, if this sprite of him on his page is any indication, he uses his fingers to shoot an Evolvo ray.
Okay, that's perfect. Miles Palmer.
Apparently that's from the manga, and apparently Crash Bandicoot has a manga.
Okay. Please don't get distracted here. We're making our own story. We're building our own road here as we go. If you read the history of this now, as I can see that you're doing, it's going to elongate this segment beyond any reasonable person's willingness to listen to our podcast. I've been stalling so you could read it. I could tell you're still reading it. I desperately need you to come back to me. Come back home.
Look at this part.
Come
Neocortex
back.
Neocortex gets attacked by bees.
Come back home to me, please. I'm begging you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Dr. Neocortex has his finger on the Evolvo ray.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Well, part of one anyway. And I want there to be more. Way more. I want to beg him to take the cock
I think that's the... I think that's the point of the Evolvo ray.
Okay.
To give more, to turn ordinary animals into super sapient beings.
I've run up... Okay, so instead of the next passage, which is hornier than anything I've ever read in my life, I'm just going to say I want to beg him to use the Evolvo ray that I've seen straining up against his pants.
Yeah.
And... turn animals into
turn a kangaroo into Ripperoo,
and turn a kangaroo into Ripperoo. That's perfect.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've bottomed.
I think what he means. So there was a Crash Bandicoot kart racer called Crash Team Racing.
Okay, it's.
And I think what he means is bottoming out in the go kart.
It's been a while since I've had an accident in my Crash Team Racing Crash Bandicoot go-kart.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy to again.
Okay.
But I'm not going to beg, not even going to ask. That seems fine, because he made it clear he wasn't going to come. He wasn't
come
going
where?
To join me in the race. They're enemies.
Okay, right.
Which seemed crazy to me, but whatever. He smiles down at me, that cocky spread of a grin as he works slowly.
We should probably sanitize that. Cocky feels a little...
Yeah. Evil?
Penis-y?
No, that's worse.
At least then it's clinical.
No, that's worse. Is Dr. Neocortex evil?
Yeah.
So let's say evil. He smiles down at me, that evil spread of a grin, as he works slowly inside of me. Adding more lube and being so careful, I kind of want to yell at him to get on with it. That's none of that, I think, is okay.
Inside of me is bad. I think what we can say is, as he works to evolve me...
But isn't Bandicoot already evolved? Maybe not.
No, I think so. I think, yeah, so Crash Bandicoot has been zapped by the Evolvo Ray, and that's why he's super sentient.
Okay. So as he works slowly to evolve a kangaroo...
I can't believe it took the Bandipedia to finally give us the language we've been searching for what feels like years now.
Yeah.
Which is, we understand that animals are sentient,
Yeah, we
but
know
they
that.
Don't have human-like intelligence.
Right.
And it turns out that there is a word for that, and the Bandipedia has dislodged it for us.
What is this great work of philosophy?
Super sapient.
Super sapient.
The Volvo Ray turns animals into super sapient beings.
Okay. He smiles down at me, that evil spread of the grin, as he works slowly outside of me.
Right, turning me into a super sapient being.
Adding more Evolvo.
Adding more human-like intelligence.
Adding more human-like intelligence. And being so careful, I kind of want to yell at him to get on with it.
Okay.
But I know Dr. Neo Cortex. No fucking way he would do that. Let's just say ding-dang way he would do that.
Freaking way.
No ding-dang. We could say dashed. That's very Bertie Wooster. No dashed way he would do that.
Yeah, I like that.
So I grit my teeth and try to cooperate with his glacial pace without... It says here blowing my wad. Does Crash Bandicoot have a weapon sometimes?
No. Shooting my, well, he's got... He doesn't have a web. He does a spin attack.
Without using my spin attack. That's fine.
And he's got the little tiki mask.
Let's just say spin attack.
I think his name is Wumpa Wumpa.
Let's stick with the spin attack.
Okay.
Without using my spin attack because it feels
Aku,
so...
Aku.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's the mask.
Because it feels so goddamn good. It'll feel better. It will. I know it will. That seems fine. Once he's got the one...
What is this?
I might need...
Hachimachi.
For
am I right?
you to get off the wiki.
Check that link.
Is that possible? I can't have you doing this.
Check the link.
What link?
Hachimachi, am I right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I sent you a link. Click on it.
It hasn't arrived yet. Shall I skip ahead?
Click on the link.
I haven't received it. Oh,
it's,
here
it is. It's made it to you. That's Crash Bandicoot's girlfriend.
Okay. Her name is Tona. A Hachimachi.
Hachimachi.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to need your help with this, Tim.
Sorry,
I can't do this alone. Let's skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Once he's got one finger all the way in,
once he's got
his Evolvo Ray firing on all cylinders, he wiggles it back and forth, pushes it into me before retreating in the back of my neck. What do we call those now? My head tushy. My left head tushy.
Yeah, left head tushy.
Is going to be red for how hard I'm digging my fingernails into the skin there. That seems fine. Finally, he decides I can handle another one, and luckily for me, he isn't quite as cautious this time around. When he brushes my prostate. I don't think you do that with an Evolvo Ray, right?
I don't know enough about the technology, but no, I would assume you don't.
Crash Bandicoot has a little tuft of hair on the top of his head, doesn't he?
Yeah, most people do. Most super sapient people do.
Okay, well, and he brushes my bandicoot tuft. It's all I can do not to let out a yell.
Ah!
As it is, it's maybe more of a bark, and that is what bandicoots do.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to keep it inside.
Is a bandicoot a real animal?
Yes, but please don't Google this.
Too late. Oh, it doesn't look anything like Crash Bandicoot. It's like a shrew.
Yeah, but that's before it's evolved to be super sentient.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Why am I? I'm going to start looking back at you again. I've got this. I've just been staring at a very sensuous photo of Tana Bandicoot Crash's girlfriend.
She is sexy. She
lets out a bark. I managed to open my eyes, and the way Dr. Neo
that's what a bandicoot looks like.
What?
Look at your text message.
Please stop texting me pictures. It doesn't look anything like him. It looks
like
a mouse.
Little rat.
Yeah. I managed to open my eyes, and the way Dr. Neo Cortex is looking at me, his dark eyes focused on where his fingers, his Evolvo Ray is shooting me. The last couple of times we did this, sure, his Evolvo Ray got hard. What does that even mean? Got charged.
Hard to
up.
Use. I think it gets hot.
But got hard to use, but he didn't look like he wanted to. This time, though, he looks like he wants me. He blinks, and then his gaze is trained on my face instead of my ass. That seems fine.
Yeah. They're self-bottlerizing.
Yeah. It's so intense, I've got a touch of vertigo. Crash? And that's is in the text.
Bandicoot, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just add a bandicoot there. Yeah? Can I? Would you? Dr. Neo Cortex shakes his head, and his rhythm with the
Evolver Ray
falters. Ask me. Ask me. I'll say yes. Whatever it is, ask me. There's nothing wrong with this, but I find it unlikely that Crash Bandicoot would be so acquiescent to...
Oh, I think it's beautiful. It's this shrew-like creature gaining super sentience for the first time. And
oh, so this is before he becomes Crash Bandicoot. Oh, wow. This is the origin story.
This is becoming Crash Bandicoot.
Wow.
And he's saying, like, ask me because for the first time in my existence,
I can see something beyond being this. You guys, bed pots.
Really beautiful.
Sex bugs, you've got to look up a picture of what a bandicoot looks like because they're not ready to be what Crash Bandicoot.
It looks nothing like Crash Bandicoot.
The fire in his eyes that had guttered with the shake of his head seems to flicker and then relight. That is absolutely fine. And with a rock of my bandicoot hips to meet the press of his Volvo ray. His face is ablaze with it again. He wants me, and I'm just going to add, to become a super sentient bandicoot.
Yeah.
Turn over.
I guess he wants to get the other side.
Yeah, telling is also good. I'm going to get the other side of your bandicoot. Somehow we
scramble. You need to make sure your butt is super sentient, too.
Until I'm on my stomach and raising my bandicoot butt up for him, and he's digging in the drawer. I guess there's another revolver, right?
Battery.
Yeah, battery. Stupid Crash, not to have asked about protection. You gotta protect yourself from the Evolver Ray.
Yeah.
But out of the two of us, who's not going to fuck without... Excuse me. Who's not going to evolve a bandicoot without protection every single goddamn time? Dr. Neo Cortex. And he doesn't. Should we just skip to the end of this?
Yeah.
So that what follows is just more shooting with the Evolvo Ray and like different
a lot
parts.
Of shooting and like
just to make sure you get every part of the bandicoot.
And like Dr. Neo Cortex will like reach around and give like he'll shoot Crash Bandicoot's Evolvo Ray too.
They're both oftentimes shooting each other's Evolvo Rays constantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here's the final part of this passage. I don't want to stop. I want Jesus, Dr. Neo Cortex, just evolve me, please. I'm dying here.
Evolve me, Daddy.
Evolve me, Daddy. I've surprised the laugh out of him, and then it's my turn to be surprised when he digs his strong fingers into my... It weirdly says butt handles.
Butt handles, yeah.
That's fine. And thrust forward so hard, I feel his balls knock against me. We can't have that.
Balls.
Are there balls in Crash Bandicoot?
Apples.
Like, apples. I feel the apples.
You break crates to collect apples.
I feel the apples shaken loose from a crate that restores my health back to full.
Yeah. I think they're apples. Let me look. I'm still on the Bandipedia.
Okay, I think it's apples.
You think it's apples?
Dear God, I'm going to say
not,
something
now. Hey, bud.
Yeah.
It's not apples. It's Wumpa fruit.
Okay.
So don't you look foolish.
All right. He digs his strong fingers into my, what do we say? Butt handles or butt ears? The ears of my butt.
I think it's butt ears. Yeah. I don't know. It's not ears. It's,
He's just trying to, you know, make the evolution be complete.
It's some
here.
Slang for ears that you came up with.
Lugs.
Butt lugs.
My butt lugs. And thrust forward so hard, it shakes loose some wampa fruit, which fall down and restore me to full health.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you.
You have to collect 100 of them before you get an extra life.
I need you at 100% here right now because I'm going to say something.
You got me.
I'm going to throw something at you and I need you to catch it and send it right back to me clean.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm a batter, and I'm going to whale this one
line
drive
a fastball
right towards the pitching mound.
Right down the middle. You ready?
Yeah.
I have died and gone to ass-pounding heaven.
Okay. That's... I have died and gone to ass-pounding heaven.
Yeah, you've just repeated it is what's happened.
No, I know. I'm trying to... God, I think even Bowdler would struggle with this one.
Yeah, Shakespeare was never throwing fastballs like that at Bowdler.
I had no idea what a fastball even was.
I have evolved, and does he turn into, when he dies, when Crash Bandicoot dies, does he do that thing that they do in video games where he like turns into a little angel and floats away?
That is exactly what he does.
So that's what he's saying. I feel like I have died and turned into an angel and floated away, as happens in famously in the Crash Bandicoot game.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm trying to find a GIF of it for you now, but
I don't need to see it. It's an audio medium.
Understand.
Yeah,
you understand what it looks like.
I was the one who came up with it.
He gets a little harp and angel wings, and flies into heaven.
So that's perfect. And then it's the final sentence of this, and then we do have to go. And it's a pounding I get. Dr. Neo Cortex driving into me in a way that knocks the air from my lungs with each thrust, and that seems fine.
Yeah, that is fine.
This has been Two Prude Dudes, and we have to go.
To go where? From this segment to the next one?
Home.
Because we still haven't done
to
our
wives. We're going to do it
Jeff
so fast. We have no time left.
Brother.
We have to do it so fast. Do your burn extremely fast. I can feel myself editing this episode and being annoyed.
Sully? Ugh, yes. Sully. Brett Sullivan is a perfectly respectable skier. He also is perfectly dull. No style, no flair, no oomph. The guy somehow manages to make hurtling down a mountain at 80 miles per hour look boring, which is a talent in itself, but not one I'd ever want. He's technically good, but God, is he ever the red delicious of downhill. Mealy and bland, and my burn is on apples.
Okay, because those are fine apples. They're not mealy and bland, necessarily.
I agree with Tamsin here.
Okay, so you
also... I'm a gala man. I'm a gala man.
Okay. I'd like to read my burn for you now. It goes like this. Dr. Neo Cortex talking about Crash Bandicoot. Everything about him, except the way he makes his way through a course, makes me absolutely fucking crazy, including the way he's skulking around the locker room and dawdling. He was first into the showers, last out. Can the man not do anything quickly except ski? He's like an arthritic sloth that ate too many pot brownies.
It's just like your burn on sloths.
A very evocative metaphor.
We don't have time for Love in the Time of Horses this week, but I think what we can take away from Tamsin is let's just make Love in the Times of Horses a sports romance.
Yeah, and it's all
because it turns out you don't even need to do the sports until like 8/10
the last couple of chapters, and then it actually doesn't matter who wins.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
We have to leave. We also have to go. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I would like to thank the Sex Bugs and the Bed Pots so very much for bearing with us. We're still kind of workshopping the name, so if you
hate it... We're done. We're settled. if you hate it, you have the other option.
Yeah.
If you hate being called the Sex Bug, you can be a Bed Pot. If you hate being called a Bed Pot, you can be a Sex Bug.
That's great. And that there's two kinds of people.
Yeah. Tag yourself.
Please remember, you must subscribe to our Patreon. We're reading the Sweet Valley Twins books. I know it sounds different from what we're doing here, but it's the same jokes.
guarantee you, at some point in the near future, we will be on the Crash Bandicoot Wikipedia while discussing Sweet Valley Twins.
It's
inevitable.
Fun. We sing the descriptions. We're having a lot of fun with them. We hope you'll join us. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast, and it's only $5 a month. Or $10 a month if you want to hear us talk about the fucking Babysitter's Club TV Netflix show, which we're also doing on our Patreon. Check out our Patreon. We got a lot of offerings out there. It's more podcasts.
Yeah.
I would like for you to please join our Facebook group. It's called Baby Nation. Everyone is nice and good in there, and everyone has a nice time. You can buy our merch at bit.ly/BSCC merch. And you can, of course, rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. It helps us to move through the rankings. If you go to bit.ly/RattlesnakeJake, you can support our show. Throw us a few bucks just to keep us going. Help us cover costs. We really appreciate everybody who has done it. And I would like to very specifically thank this week, Catherine, Anna, Samantha, Betsy, Sarah, Kat, Corinne, Aaron, Olivia, and Kara. Thank you so much for supporting us over at bit.ly/rattlesnakejake. It is Jake. So lovely of you to do that, and we genuinely appreciate it. All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. The novel that we read this week was called Seduction on the Slopes. Snow and Ice Games, Book 2 by Tamsin Parker. Next week, we're going to be reading a little book called The King's Man by Elizabeth Kingston, and we're going to be reading it with Cat Sebastian.
The cat Sebastian.
I don't know. You're the one who's been doing all the Twitter correspondence.
Human Sebastian. I feel like if I were corresponding with human Sebastian, I would recognize that.
Yeah. So we don't. I guess we're going to find out in the moment.
Yeah.
But tune in for that. Romance novelist Cat Sebastian
has agreed to come and join us. I gave her an out, and she was like, let's do it.
Super excited about that. What a very special guest. Please tune in for that.
You haven't lived until you've heard romance novelist Cat Sebastian bodlerize a romance novel.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been a strange bedfellow, and that strange bedfellow's name is Jack.
My name is Tanner. I'm the king. Sorry, my name is Tanner, king of tired.
And I'm the Dark Prince of Tired. Traditionally with these, you read us out with the outro that you've picked out from the book.
Yes.
That you committed to do. And I was like, why would you do that? You'll never do it. You'll never remember to do it. You won't remember your cue. I don't
Jack,
know why
you
I
can have
that.
A yeah. reggae band in. I check my watch. I'm not wearing. And Jack rolls his eyes. 12 years. Anyway, my point is that you were like a goddamn wizard. And my fingers practically itched with the need to touch you when you'd finished.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure you were real. And more than that, I wanted to take this raw lump of podcasting talent, that's you, and shape it. I knew you could be better. I just knew it. Have you ever seen an uncut diamond?
And that's me, folks.
The Dark Prince of Tired.
The Dark Prince of Tired. I'm so tired. Good night.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I don't want to say worried.
Yeah.
I don't want to say worried, but are you, is there any part of you that thinks you may be raising
a Sith Lord?
You're definitely raising a Sith Lord. He exclusively likes bad guys.
Yeah, exclusively likes bad guys.
Emperor Palpatine, Darth Vader, Jar Jar Binks.
The only way I could get him to bed tonight in order to come and do this recording was I promised him that tomorrow we would go and try to turn all of his teachers to the dark side.
Are you guys really going to do that?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot, man.
Yeah.